The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
A fair price.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
This is Always Right Radio on AM 1420. The Answer. Here's your host, Bob France.
All right, 9 minutes after 10 o'clock, hour number two is underway on this Monday. It's the 22nd morning of the fourth month of the year of our Lord, 2024. We'll see if it actually plays out that way. So real super quick, just to follow up on the conversation that I just had, which was unplanned. Like I said, he just called in. Look, I'm well aware, by the way, of the number of Ukrainian families there are in Northeast Ohio, particularly in Parma, and all of the Ukrainian churches. And as I said, I drove by the Golden Domes Saturday on my way to a discount drug mart on State Road in Parma for a grand opening event there, which, by the way, was wonderful, and they did such a great job. But I made the sign of the cross for the people of Ukraine and for the families in those churches who have family in Ukraine. Because we are compassionate and we care and we absolutely support them. There has to be, however, a limit to that support, because our own survival is also in the offing here. And when I say that, I mean literally survival, as in people dying here in the United States as well. We don't have the money to secure our own border. We don't have the policies to secure our own border. And our own families are suffering. Our own children are dying. 100,000 people are dying, for crying out loud, every few months from fentanyl, for crying out loud. And we're sending money to another country so they can deal with their own problems. And there comes a point where we have to say, yes, we're compassionate. Yes, we care. Yes, we sympathize. Yes, we empathize. But we have to take care of our own house first. We don't have $200 billion to spend. We are $34.5 trillion in debt. That number grows by another trillion every 100 days. Every 100 days, we're borrowing money from our sworn enemy, but from a geopolitical adversary called China that is looking to take us down, that is a part of that massive invasion across our own southern border. We're borrowing money from them to send it to Ukraine, to a country that, yes, it does have a massive corruption problem. And I'm sorry if Father doesn't want to accept that, but it's the reality of it. There was a survey just 6 months ago of Ukrainian adults, and the numbers are pretty staggering. Seriously, Ukrainian adults, some 78% of them say that the country has a corrupt government and the leader of the corrupt government is Zelensky, that he's responsible for that corruption. It's no small sample size. They didn't just ask 20 people. 2011 interviews with people from 135 different settlements in Ukraine were asked, and 78% of them said Zelensky is responsible for government corruption. We're sending hundreds of billions of our dollars to a man who, by the way, does not allow for free elections. And again, Father said that's not true. It is true. How do we know? Because Zelensky said it in June. The country would have no elections until its war with Russia ends. What does that mean? It means it is the beneficiary of the ongoing war. If there was a peace talk, if there was some sort of an agreement to stop the fighting and the war is over and martial law is no longer declared in Ukraine, Zelensky would have to then face re-election from a population of people that say, 78% of them say, he's responsible for the government corruption. It is in his personal best interest to keep this going. And nobody wants to talk about that. And I'm sorry if that makes people upset. And I'm sorry to Father, who called in. God bless him. God has blessed him, obviously, but that's the reality of it. All right, we have our own problems here in the state of Ohio, too. I want to talk a little bit about HB 73. You probably know HB 73. because we have talked about it. Stephanie Stockwell, Ohio Advocates for Medical Freedom, has been just an absolute warrior on this issue and so many others. We're talking, of course, about the David Angie Patient and Health Provider Protection Act. It has been passed out of the House for a while now, since what? I want to say last summer or somewhere. Passed by the House, introduced into the Senate side, and it still sits in Senate committee, and it doesn't look like it's coming out of it anytime soon. So let's welcome Stephanie Stock to the program. Stephanie, welcome back from OAMF. How are you?
Well, I'm not real thrilled this morning, Bob, but just another day in politics, right?
Yeah, I suppose. It's not supposed to be that way, but apparently it is. And Stephanie, you're joined by Dr. Richard Bartlett, who is here with us as well. Doctor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Bob. It's an honor to be with you, sir.
Good to talk to you as well. Thank you. So, Stephanie, let's give the backgrounder for those who aren't familiar with the David Angie Patient Protection Act.
Yes, so this bill will provide for the fact that doctors can submit a prescription for any drug for any off-label use for their patient, so long as that drug is legal in the state of Ohio, is not a controlled substance, and if it is considered a REMS drug, which is one of the really highly toxic drugs that they have to monitor really closely, that they follow the current federal regulations for those drugs. This bill will require the pharmacist to fill those prescriptions unless they have a religious objection, which is already part of state law, or if there's a life-threatening contraindication. And this is for outpatient pharmacies and for in the hospital. Now, if they don't want to fill it, if they say, hey, we saw on CNN that budesonide doesn't work, we don't want to fill this here, well, then they still have to fill it. They can make a note in the chart and say, well, we're opposed to this, but we're doing it anyway, and they get complete liability protection. So it's all on the doctor and the patient if they want to go through with this treatment. But the pharmacist cannot decline to fill something that the doctor's prescribing and the patient has informed consent to. That happened in outpatient pharmacies across the state over the last 3 years during COVID, and it happened in the hospital, and people died. It's time to put a stop to that. And right now, we've already made accommodations in the Senate. Steve Huffman is the chair of the Health Committee. He gave us a letter with 17 points in it. Many of them weren't even really points that should be even made. The few things that were issues that could be addressed or could be made more clear, we did that. He looked at the bill. He has not told us what provisions of the bill we did not meet. He just said we didn't meet enough of his concerns, and he's rewriting the bill himself. So he's taking the people's legislation, which we have run through with all of these quote-unquote interested parties, which we both know, Bob, is all of the opposition, right? It's the hospital association, and the pharmacy association, and the medical board. There were literally like 25 lobbyists in the room with us during the, quote, interested party meeting. They all want this bill dead because it interferes with their kickbacks from the federal government for COVID and for whatever their next pandemic is, and they don't want doctors to be able to control what happens with their patients. Well, guess what? The hospitals did a real crappy job of saving lives, so it's time to return that back to the doctors and give them a chance to do it. So you can tell I'm pretty fired up this morning, Bob. I'm pretty fired up.
Well, I don't blame you, given what you're describing now with Steve Huffman. Dr. Bartlett, what kind of drugs are we talking about when we talk about off-label scripts, and why would any of these physicians need a religious exemption to not fill it, or why would they refuse to fill it in the first place?
So Ohio State has become a kill zone, and there are patients who have been treated in the hospital and out of the hospital from coast to coast, from Florida to New York to California, Washington State, with a medicine that's inexpensive, readily available, and effective at treating COVID early and late. It's called budesonide, an inhaled steroid. It's $3 a treatment if it's used, if you paid the full cash price. It's so safe it's been used on 2-pound premature babies in the NICU for 30 years without batting an eye. That's as delicate a human as there is. It was validated by Oxford University in the STOIC trial, the principal trial. It's been studied by France, Iran, Australia, the NIH, Brazil. In every single study, it's effective against COVID in early disease and late disease. Oxford did the STOIC trial, and they stopped it early, saying, gosh, this medicine needs to be out there immediately. It will prevent 90% of hospitalizations, ER visits, and urgent care visits with COVID. And that came out in 2021. But still, there are pharmacists who are busy being pharmacists, but they're not studying the medical journals. They're not looking at the literature on the latest treatment, so they're unaware of this, so they refuse to fill it many times out of ignorance, and doctors as well. And so this is one example. We have had people come off the ventilator out of the ICU that were told that they were going to die. The family was asked for a hospice order, and they chose budesonide, and they came home to their families across the nation, but not in Ohio, not in Ohio. And so you got the President Trump's Right to Try Act, the federal act, did not protect the people in Ohio. Ohio became the 33rd state to have a right to try state bill. That didn't protect people. That's why you need House Bill 73, which passed overwhelmingly through the House of Representatives, representing the people of Ohio, to have a right to treat a deadly disease that's still in the news called COVID with an inexpensive, safe medicine that's been out for over 30 years. This generic, nobody's going to make any money off of it. It's so cheap, but it works. And the problem is the right to try laws don't protect you. And so that's why we need House Bill 73. There's one man blocking this, Senator Steve Huffman, who had this bill passed by the House in September. He's supposed to schedule it for the Senate to discuss it, debate it, vote on it, yes or no. But he is holding it up. He's not scheduling it on purpose. And everybody's life, if there's every life that is lost now that's not treated with not offered budesonide, is blood on his hands, possibly. If you look at it clearly, Oxford proved it.
What if I may jump in for a second, Doctor? What are the primary objections of those pharmacists who don't want to prescribe it? And what is the primary objection here, if you know at all, of Steve Huffman?
Well, Steve Huffman, when I looked, he's received thousands of dollars from Friends of Ohio Hospitals. Well, one of the primary objections to his campaign contributions, if you'll look online, that's my understanding, that he has thousands of reasons to stand against this bill. And one of his main pieces of evidence to try to argue against scheduling this for the senators to debate it is a letter from the Ohio Hospital Association. Does that sound like he's conflicted?
I don't know what kind of power the Ohio Hospital Association is, but yes, on its face, it does sound like there might be a conflict of interest.
Stephanie, go ahead. He's using many reasons, but one of his big reasons, and he's still spinning this currently in his district as of this past Friday, he is saying that this expands abortions in the state of Ohio, which is absolutely absurd. For one, the bill, as I said, still contains a provision that says you can decline to fill any drug for reasons of conscience. So if you think a drug, he kept using methotrexate, okay? If there's a drug that somebody rolls through the pharmacy, which I checked with multiple pharmacists, by the way, methotrexate's not being handed out like candy at pharmacies. But let's say you roll up and you're a person of childbearing years and you roll in there with a methotrexate prescription. That pharmacist can decline to fill, knowing that there's teratogenic effects with methotrexate. They can decline to fill if that person is of childbearing years, if they really think they're going to use that for an abortion. So that's his argument. Now, that's on top of the fact that you can currently order abortion pills via the mail, okay? HB 73 doesn't expand jack diddly do, and we have it, as you well know, Bob, in our Constitution now. So they're blocking 68 because of the trans right nonsense, and they can do the same thing with abortion. So he's denying a bill that will save the lives of the unborn, of the born, with a smokescreen of it harming the unborn. It's ridiculous. Proceed.
Stephanie, I can't hold back. You have in Ohio the right to kill a baby up until birth now, as of November 2023, for the mother's health. It could be for her emotional health. It can be for her emotional peace. It could be because it might upset her. There's no definition. It's now legally a baby can be killed up to birth now in Ohio. And so you can't expand.
They can even
that.
Use financial health, I think. You know, I can't afford it. I can't afford
so
it. Right.
It's a moot point. And by the way, that happened on his watch as the health. He was the chairman of the health department for the Senate when this happened. On his watch, the buck stops here. This guy is that's a bogus argument. By the way, we're talking about people on death's door in the hospital many times that are denied an inexpensive, safe medicine that's been validated that's now a part of Australia's treatment of COVID. It's now a part of India's government treatment of COVID, the largest and the most populous country in the world. It's a ridiculous argument, yet he'll use it. He'll play that card, even though it's ridiculous, because you can kill a baby up to birth now. All 9 months, the baby is at risk. And what is he talking about? But he's trying to stop this. He needs to schedule this for the senators to vote, so Ohio will no longer be a kill box.
Well, it sounds like, hold on a second. Let me remind everybody who we're talking to here. Stephanie Stock is with us from Ohio Advocates for Medical Freedom, and Dr. Richard Bartlett as well with us, explaining the dangers of what they are doing to kill HB 73, because it does deny doctors and patients the right to prescribe and get filled scripts that may save their lives. Dr. Bartlett, you called, by the way, the drug that we're talking about, you called it a silver bullet for COVID. A lot of people also pointed to the ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, which were other drugs that were considered controversial and some doctors wouldn't prescribe or some pharmacists wouldn't fill. HB 73 would pretty much, you know, allow for all of those things, right?
So budesonide is validated in every single study. There's not one study that shows it doesn't work. There were people that benefited from ivermectin. It is anti-inflammatory. It does have antiviral activity, but the budesonide literally is a game changer, and that's why it's been added to the national official strategy to treat COVID in India and in Australia. Australia has an 840-page document on the government strategy to treat COVID now, and budesonide is at the top. And so Steve Huffman in his how callous can you be that you'll let people die, lose their wife, lose their husband, lose their children in the hospital when there's an inexpensive, readily available, safe medicine down the hall in the hospital pharmacy? Mm-hmm. You know, it was on his watch when he was a state representative that a two-year-old died, and we got Emily's Law in Ohio because a two-year-old was overdosed on chemo drugs that was about to go home cured of cancer, but because you had high school graduates with no further credentials mixing up medicines in hospital pharmacies.
Wow.
And the child overdosed and died, and it triggered a law to be passed. There's room for improvement in Ohio health and in Ohio hospital pharmacy care and in Ohio hospital care. And this is Exhibit A. Thousands have died and should not die, and COVID is still happening.
Oh, no doubt, and there's going to be more. There's going to be more, either epidemic or pandemic pushes. They're talking about the avian flu is already moving into cattle. It's going to be into humans soon, and they're going to be talking about new vaccine requirements and new steps to be taken and so forth. Stephanie, we're just about out of time, but I want to ask you, so Huffman is holding this up. Huffman is now saying he's going to rewrite the thing that was written by the people and then push that one out. I don't know how that will look, but who are your allies? Who is working, you have working that can influence from the inside of the Senate, Senator Huffman?
Well, George Lang has been somebody that's been with us on Medical Freedom, Christina Rogner. Now, George isn't on the committee. Rogner's the only one on the committee. I believe the vice chair, Senator Johnson, he is a retired doctor. I believe he supports the bill. So it's going to be a challenge. What we're going to have to do, and I'll be putting out a call to action on this, is that all of the committee members need to be contacted and told that the people want Representative Gross's current version for the Senate that we drafted to meet the majority of those concerns. We want that adopted, and we do not want Steve Huffman's version of this bill adopted.
Yeah, because then that would have to go back to the House again anyway, because any significant changes would require that. And
exactly.
The House passed the current version of it overwhelmingly, right?
They did, and we've even made improvements on that. So when that rolls back over to them completely gutted, they're not going to be having that. They had 75 votes over there, and it's wrong. We send things over that the people vote. This is people's legislation. The House voted on it, and then the Senate thinks they're going to go over there and just tear it up. And this is what they do with a lot of legislation. There are a lot of very upset conservatives about things going to the Senate, and then they get gutted over there and returned as shells of what they were. And it's not okay. The people's voices need to be heard.
Medical tyranny. Medical tyranny.
It is. It absolutely is. And we need to know what we can't just limit this bill to be certain drugs. As much as I love budesonide, the reason that it's written the way that it is because we don't know what's coming. Just like you said, Bob, and if a doctor wakes up one day and says, oh my gosh, I have a great idea, and he can't use it, and more people die, that's going to be on the hands of the Senate for blocking this bill. And he's scheduled it for a hearing, but we're gathering people for proponent testimony already. They're booking flights, and now they're going to be coming out for a bill that they don't even know what it is. Yeah. This is absurd.
That's pretty unbelievable.
It will work for bird flu, by the way.
Oh, well, that's good to know, too. Assuming we can allow it to be filled and people can have access to it, which, of course, is
the
issue here.
You might have to go across the border if Steve Huffman continues to block this and not allow it to be voted on. You might have to leave Ohio to be safe.
That's unbelievable. Dr. Richard Bartlett and Stephanie Stock, Ohio Advocates for Medical Freedom, thank you both for staying on top of this. Stephanie, keep me posted, okay?
Will do. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Good to hear from you. It's 10:30 almost. Let's take a time out.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.